Good to see everyone back tonight. We appreciate you being with us. And just keep all these sick people in your prayers and don't shake hands, elbow bump or something, because it seems like everybody's getting it right now. And now that Matt has it, don't speak to Melissa. You don't want to get it from her either. This morning we started, well, before I do that, a reminder of the Honduras support and got good ideas of the things that we can turn in to go to Honduras. I mentioned toothbrushes and toothpaste, underwear, socks, t-shirts for children, but also like baby blankets, pot holders, things like that, small towels, things of that nature would be great as well. I hadn't got with Teresa yet, and she hadn't chewed me out for volunteering her, but I'll try to get boxes and things ready by next Sunday to start putting those things in. And of course, if you're still interested in going and you've not talked to me yet, it's not too late. Just get with me and be happy to give you the information you need. I also wanted to thank Brent, Heath, and Jarek for stepping up and being willing to fill in for me while I was gone. That was awesome. Brent said he was nervous, but he didn't act like it. Did a great job. Real impressed with that lesson. And Heath and Jarek are just kind of getting used to it. They're getting comfortable, and I love seeing that as well. And that means a lot to see the young men stepping up, and Brent doing it for the first time was just awesome. So very proud of those individuals and enjoyed watching those at home. Now to my lesson. This morning we started a lesson. That's right, exactly. I felt the same way a couple of weeks ago with my surgery. Started a lesson on 12 verses that can help us in a world of trouble. We did the first six this morning, and tonight we'd like to cover the last six as well. So, beginning at our seventh verse, if you're keeping up with these, you're writing these down, Matthew 6, 33 and 34. You knew this one had to be in here somewhere, because this needs to be our focus in life. And sometimes we lose focus. But God tells us here in Matthew 6, 33 and 34, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. When it says all these things, it's talking about the things that we stress about a lot. Our jobs, money, our clothes, our food, things of this nature. But I've seen through the years with different people how often God provides even when people have given up. One of my favorite stories is the first time I ever went to Scotland on a mission trip. Alec, when I got there, he said, I have hired a driver to drive us around. Alec didn't need to hire a driver. But it was a young man and his wife and their daughter. They're young Christians there at the church. All had been converted there at Glenrothes, and he had just lost his job about 2 days prior and had no idea. They were in panic mode of what they were going to do. And Alex said, you know what? Go on this group trip with me. You do all our driving, and let's let God take care of it. And we did, and we were going, and we went and visited all these different congregations, and we did a VBS, and we did all these things. And this young man drove us all over Scotland, which that's not saying a lot. It's a little island. But when we got back, the day we got back, his wife met him and said, you got a phone call this morning. And he got a job the day we got back. And I'm sorry, it's hard for me not to believe that God had something to do with that. How much better planning? And he got a call from a company that he had contacted, but they had no openings, and it just happened to be they decided to hire someone new after all. So often, and I use myself as an example this morning, we forget to just put our faith in God. Seek first the kingdom of God. Put our focus. This morning's adult class was talking about John the Baptist. All he cared about was spreading God's word. He didn't care about what he looked like or what people thought of him. All that mattered to him was to be the messenger that God needed him to be for Jesus Christ. And if we stop and think about it, that's really our job too. I'm not telling you need to go out and buy you an outfit made out of camel skin and eat locusts and wild honey, but I am telling you that our focus in our lives needs to be Christ. And far too often our focus has become school and our hobbies and our jobs and we get so worried about what we're going to do tomorrow or next week or next month that we lose total track of what's going on today right in front of us. And that's how we miss opportunities to spread God's word, to be the messenger. But if we reverse it and we focus on that first, God says, I'll take care of the rest. You focus on following me, and let me focus on all the rest of it. And then the second part where he says, don't worry about tomorrow. We talked about stress and worry this morning. We live in a society today where stress, anxiety, depression is taking control of our nation, and not just in adults. I'm talking about in young people, as young as elementary school. And it's like, you know, when I was elementary school, I don't remember having stress. I don't even know that I knew what the word was. Maybe I was just in a blessed circumstance, but I didn't have, I might have stressed sometimes over the test, but even as elementary school, I didn't get really stressed over that either. But our young people today are seeing and they're living the same stress and pressure that the adults around them are dealing with. And it's rough. And it goes back to seeking God first, helping to remove a lot of the stress and worry that's in our lives and focusing on God. And that young people that are in that home with us and living with us, they'll learn from that as well. And they'll learn to put God first and put the stress behind them. But our society is leaving God, and in doing so, they're living in stress and pressure and frustration and anger and in misery. For a simple reason of just turning away from God. Scripture number 8. Psalm 119, 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. You know, when you start trying to narrow down just 12 verses, it was hard. I'm not going to lie. It was hard to narrow down. But this one, I just felt like this needs to be here. To remind us what our guide needs to be. In the good old days, when Jeannie and I first got married, road maps were everything. In the pockets of our doors on both sides were road maps of Georgia, Alabama, Florida, Tennessee, all the places that we traveled. And then when we went out with Melissa to Colorado the first time, you know, we're getting all these maps of Kansas and Missouri and of Colorado. And Jeannie was the navigator. Man, that thing would be all spread out. You couldn't see her at all. But, man, we always knew where we were going. Now we got GPS, right, where the lady yells at you to turn around and do a illegal U-turn because you may have missed the turn. We have all of those things. And yet, I don't know if you've ever done it, but my GPS doesn't always take me where I wanted to go. Or sometimes I argue with it. It tells me to go this way. And I don't want to go that way. It's a better route to go this way. And I think sometimes we do that with God. We depend upon man. And our inventions and our ideas and our science and our knowledge. And brothers and sisters, our knowledge is not going to lead us to heaven other than the knowledge of God's word. Because God's word is the map. The great thing about the old maps that we had is they were, you know, we got one every year, so we were always up to date. In my car, I've got to update it. Haven't been updated in 3 years. I drove somewhere the other day. It did not even exist on my map. It was just a blank space, and my little thing was just dangling around. But God's word is always up to date. I don't care what people say about, well, you know, we need to update God's word. We need to modernize God's word. God's word has not and will not change if the world lasts into the 5,000 years. It is up to date. If we want to go to heaven, here's the path to do it. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. We talked about this morning that the light at the end of the tunnel, that's God. It is. But he doesn't always leave us complete darkness. He gives us that lamp, his word, to make sure we get where we want to go if it's our desire is to go to heaven. But the problem we have today is I'm not going to say none of us, but most of us do not study as much as we should. And I'm learning as I'm getting older, I don't remember. There's verses I used to just spew out of my mouth and I could tell you where they were. And now I'm thinking, God, I know that's in 1 Thessalonians, but I can't remember the chapter. I don't remember all the wordings of the verses. I'm not remembering stuff as well as I used to. It makes me have to go back now and study more. And sometimes some of our Old Testament classes that we have on Wednesday nights, it's like, I forgot that story even existed. Need to go back and do some more studying and reading. Because so often we forget the details, if not the whole stories, because we're not studying the Bible the way we should. This morning, Danny said, turn to Malachi. And I turned over and I was like, you know, I don't remember the last time I read Malachi. It's been a while. So now I've got homework for this week. I'm going to go back and read Malachi again. It's just four chapters. It won't take long at all. But we've got to get ourselves in a position where we know His Word if we want to know the way to heaven. Number nine, 1 John 4:7. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Now, there's two things I want to look at this verse about. Number one, as a history teacher, it's embarrassing, frustrating, and it's angering, if that's actually a word, for me to read and hear people say that they're going to war for God. God wills it, used to be the thing of the Crusades in the Middle Ages. Both sides, both the Muslims and the Catholic Church, were saying, God wills this war. And they would use God as an excuse to kill and to plunder and to do terrible things. How many times do we hear criminals say, well, God told me to do this. God wanted me to do this. The people of 9/11, they believed with all their heart that they were doing what God wanted them to do. Brothers and sisters, if God is telling us to do anything that deals with hate, anger, or violence, it's not God, it's Satan. Because notice what it says, let us love one another, for love comes from God. And there's nothing that hurts me more than to see people on the news yelling and showing anger and hatred toward whatever group of people, I don't care who they are, and claiming to be Christians at the same time. That is not what Jesus showed us when He was on this earth. Jesus wasn't the one yelling, hey, let's stone this woman to death when they brought the woman that had committed adultery. Was He? No, everybody else was. What did Jesus do? After they left, He said, who condemns you? And she said, no one, my Lord. He said, then neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. He showed love. Over and over, Jesus showed love, patience, and mercy to everyone who deserved it, which in His eyes was just about everyone. You'll see Him show anger towards those who were hypocrites towards God. The chief priests, the scribes, the Pharisees, the Sadducees. Because He knew their hearts were so wrong. But brothers and sisters, we don't know people's hearts. We can see their lives, maybe. We see their actions. But so often you find out their actions is because they don't know the love of God. And the only way they're ever going to know it or see it is if we show it to them. Our actions should always, I don't care who we are in conversation with, should be out of love. Because it says everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Well, let's reverse that. If we can't show love, what does it mean? Then we're not born of God and we don't know God. You say, well, Greg, you're speaking where the Bible doesn't speak. No, that's just the opposite. If we have to love to know God, then to not love, we don't know God. Why? Because we read this morning that God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son. Jesus loved us so much, He said, greater love hath no man than this, than to lay down a life for a friend. I am your friend if you do whatsoever I command you. So we see what love God is talking about that should be in our lives. We have to show it. Whether we're in school, at work, at grocery store, or Walmart, and somebody's cutting us off, we have to show love. Because that's the only way our world will ever see who God really is. Because what they're seeing on the news, I think the news media loves to put those people up there. And they're seeing this hate and this anger in these people. And they say, yes, and we're doing this for the church. They're not doing it for Christ, church. Because we must know love. Number 10, Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, declared the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. This is another one that I've turned to a lot when I get frustrated. You know, sometimes we know God has a plan for us, but we're really anxious for Him to go in and let us know what it is, you know? But sometimes it's not time yet. Remember when Jesus, a group of people, they got so angry with Him, they wanted to stone Him. And Jesus was able to leave without being harmed. Why? Because it was not His time. And on occasions, He would tell His apostles, you know, it's not time to do these things. Jesus knew the timetable. We don't. Jesus was patient until His Father's will was to be done. You know, every single prophecy in the Old Testament was fulfilled. He couldn't die. And He fulfilled those final prophecies literally while He was hanging on the cross. And then He gave up the ghost and fulfilled that final one when He came up out of the grave. God knows the plans He has for us. And He wants us to be able to go through this process and this plan to become the people that He knows we're capable of being. Greatest example, you want to study something, go study Joseph. Why did Joseph have to go through all of, why did God put Joseph? Because Joseph needed those lessons and those trials to become the man God needed him to be when he became the man under Pharaoh. We also must face our trials, our storms, or whatever we want to call them. We've got to get out on the other side with faith in God. Why? So we can become the men and the women that God knows and needs us to be in this world. Have you ever wondered why am I here? That question of life. What does God want out of me? To love Him and follow Him. And if we do that, then we are fulfilling what God's desire is. And yet we're going to sin, we're going to stumble, we're going to fall, but God wants us always to get back up. He has plans for us. Notice what it says. His plans for us to prosper, not to harm us, but to give us hope and a future. Now, when it says prosper, it doesn't mean you're going to win the $800 million lottery. It doesn't mean you're going to be one of the billionaires on the face of the earth. No, it means He's going to take care of you at the level that you need. And if you're like me, He's blessed me way beyond I deserve or need. Plans to prosper, not to harm. Use scriptures like this when we struggle. Remind ourselves where we are, what God can do in our life if we'll just have faith. Number 11, Romans 15:13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Wow, that's a beautiful verse. May the God of hope fill you with joy and peace. Brothers and sisters, of all the people on the face of the earth that should be enjoying life the most, it's Christians. It's us. We should enjoy getting together. We should look forward to seeing each other. We should enjoy every day of life that God blesses us with, because we never know when if it's going to be the last one. Whether it's Him coming back or whether it's just His time for us to go. Either way, joy and peace. Why do we have joy and peace? Because we've trusted in Him. If you go back this morning to all those scriptures that read about Him taking care of us, providing for us, my yoke is easy, my burden is light, all of those things. It's learning to trust in God. When we're able to do that, then we find the joy and the peace that God has for us. And sometimes we can even find peace in terrible situations when we have faith in God. And notice what it says, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. God can send the Holy Spirit to help us, to strengthen us, to give us the hope to get through that trial, to make it through another day, that hope of someday being with him in heaven. And then finally, our last scripture, number 12. This was a hard one as well to decide what's the 12th one going to be. But I think this is one that all of us need to know, not just for ourselves. This is the one that we need to know because we really need to share it. The other 11 ones that are for you, yes, you can still share. I have a scripture on my school email, and I get comments all the time about, thank you for that scripture. I needed that today when I email people. They hadn't made me take it off yet, and I'm just going to keep on with it until they do, until I finally retire again. But this one, if you're not a Christian, then oh, it's definitely for you. If you are a Christian, it's still for you because, one, this is a reminder of what we did, and two, this is what we need to be sharing. In Acts 2, verses 38 through 41, it says, then Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you, for your children, and for all who are afar off, for all whom the Lord our God may call. That's us. The one that are all afar off, that's you and me. With many other words, he warned them and he pleaded with them, save yourselves from this corrupt generation. Brothers and sisters, amen. He was preaching that back then 2,000 years ago. We're still preaching it. Save ourselves from this corrupt generation. See, the world hadn't changed here as much as we think it has. And then finally, those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. Were added. Nobody can vote you in. Nobody can say, yeah, we'll take them. Well, let's have a conference or a committee. Mm-mm. When we're baptized into Jesus Christ, it doesn't matter what anybody says. God adds you to his son's church because it was his son's blood that washed your sins away. It was his son's blood that when we repented of those sins, washed them off, erased them. And to this very day, as a Christian, every time I repent and I turn to God, it's Jesus' blood that continues to forgive me of my sins. Baptism is a one-time act on our part. But the forgiveness that Jesus is offering is a lifetime. It's a lifetime warranty. And with every warranty, there's rules you have to follow, right? Well, ours are to continue to believe in God, have faith in God, and obey his commands. And when we do that, he guarantees us the forgiveness of our sins. And that's where we find that home with him in heaven. Tonight, if you've not yet been baptized into Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, brothers and sisters, show me anywhere else in this Bible that you will receive forgiveness of your sins through any other manner than through Jesus Christ's blood in baptism. It's not there. That's why we're baptized. It doesn't matter how silly it may seem, how ritual or tradition. John the Baptist was baptizing people for repentance, and he said, one's going to come that's going to baptize you with fire and water, and it's Jesus Christ. And brothers and sisters, he still is. But you must be immersed into that watery grave of baptism. If you're ready to do that tonight, we're here for you. If you are a Christian, as we talked about this morning, if you listen to the list, there's a lot of people going through storms and dark tunnels right now, I think. A lot of us. Whether it be our health or struggles in life. If you need prayers, as we had this morning, if you need God's help through those struggles, then come now while we stand and sing the invitation song.